Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
It is Thursday and it's another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Little bit of a shortened show today, but not to worry. We're still going to preview Saturday's matchup for Kansas and Oklahoma and K-State and Houston, Missouri on their bye week before a big, big matchup with Georgia in Athens next weekend. So we'll have plenty of Mizzou talk next week. So it'll be a little bit KU and K-State to open up our show. And then around 10:30, 10:35, maybe a little bit later at 10:40, we are quickly going to run the spread as we do every single Thursday. Marco and I will go back and forth picking who we think is going to win, who is going to cover, maybe some totals on the NFL slate in Week 8. This is a very, very big weekend, and I feel like I say that over and over again in regards to KU and K-State, but I think for this weekend specifically, much more at stake for Kansas than there is for Kansas State, and mainly because I don't think Kansas State's going to struggle at all with Houston coming to Manhattan. But they also understand the fact that they have to win those games they should. Speaking of Kansas State, I mean, when you're a 17.5-point favorite over Houston, shouldn't have any issues, right? You just house TCU 41-3. I've got no reason to doubt but they're going to do it again. Why would I doubt that K-State can't blow out Houston by 30? I mean, the dual quarterback system has worked, and I don't think it's going to be much of a problem for the Cats on Saturday. But as for Kansas, they will be kicking off at 11 a.m., same time as Kansas State and Houston. They will be on Fox. The Cats will be on ESPN2. Kansas, though, a 9.5-point underdog in Lawrence against the undefeated and sixth-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. There is just this weird feel in the air about this game. I don't know what it is, can't really explain it. Maybe it's because Big Noon kickoff will be in Lawrence, adds a little bit of extra juice to the game. It was just announced by KU Athletics the game is officially sold out. So despite some bad weather, going to be in the 30s, the low 40s with rain and wind, expecting Memorial Stadium to have a packed and rocking environment. Now, we discussed this on Monday, I want to say it was, about the health of Jalen Daniels and how Lance Leipold, you know, talked to the media and said right now he's in the doubtful area. And then on Tuesday, I believe it was, he went as far to say on 810 Sports Radio that Jason Bean is likely to start. So we have no other reason to believe otherwise. I mean, this really just feels like it's Jason Bean's team going into Saturday against Oklahoma. And at this point, I feel like we should expect that. I don't think Jalen Daniels is going to play. I think it's going to be the Jason Bean show. But here's why I don't think it matters as much as you think. Because when you go back to the Oklahoma State game, I really am not going to place blame on Jason Bean. I don't think Jason Bean lost Kansas that game. And the way that he played, I mean, I could see Jalen Daniels putting up very similar numbers to that. At the end of the day, the Jayhawks still lost in Stillwater. I mean, we would be foolish to say that Jalen Daniels could do better than a 67.6% completion percentage, 410 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, that's a pretty ridiculous stat line. Now, there were 2 picks in there. Maybe Jalen Daniels doesn't throw those 2 picks. But a quarterback rating of 205.7, Jason Bean was good enough to win that football game. Which is why I go back and say, if Jalen Daniels plays, I'm not so sure they win. Because that's still an incredible stat line. It's not like Jason Bean was 13 of 20 for 160 yards and a touchdown and a pick. That's a much different story. Jason Bean had a career game against Oklahoma State. And so now I start to look at this Oklahoma matchup and go, is it really a bad thing that Jason Bean is starting? You know, because if Jalen Daniels played, of course, a lot of us out there, at least Kansas fans, would be going, well, that just means they've got a much better advantage now. You've got your better quarterback, your number one out there, but I'm just not sold that Jalen Daniels is going to be 100% for this week, maybe not even next week. And is a 85% Jalen Daniels better than Jason Bean in what he showed against Oklahoma State? It's certainly up for debate. But the reason I'm not, you know, really changing my prediction here, why I think it's going to be close, is we've seen at home this offense and this defense play a lot differently. And I think that is something to factor in. And in fact, over the last 2 years, KU has done things a lot better at home than away from Lawrence, Kansas. And when you think about it, this is one of those matchups where you need all the home field advantage that you can take. I mean, this game was in Norman. I would probably make the prediction like it was last year. You lose by 10, you lose by 15. You know, it just kind of feels like it's going to be a lot closer in Lawrence on Saturday. Or maybe I'm just wanting a big-time game, a big-time matchup to be closer. I would say on paper, this Oklahoma team is a bad matchup for Kansas. A lot of speed in the receiving core. Really good offensive line, a dual-threat quarterback. That doesn't bode well for Kansas's defense. It just doesn't. No matter which way I can, you know, try to spin this, it's not a favorable matchup. But I think all week long I've had one game in my head that stood out, and it's the College Game Day game last year, KU and TCU. I did not think TCU was a good matchup for Kansas. I really didn't. My hope going into that game was that Kansas could just hang around. Now, you have College Game Day coming to Lawrence for the first time. You don't want to go out there and get 40-balled by an undefeated team. You want to hang around. And I think I would be lying if I said that when you have Big Noon there, College Game Day there, it doesn't add something else. If I said it didn't add anything, I would be flat-out lying. It brings more energy to the players, more energy to the fans. I don't care about the weather on Saturday. I think this team comes in fired up. I think this team comes in ready to play. Now, I think Oklahoma's going to do the same thing. I don't think Oklahoma's sleepwalking. They sleptwalked through UCF last week. But I would also argue this. UCF got a lot healthier last week. And I think UCF, at its healthiest point, is very comparable to this Kansas team. Good running game, good quarterback play, and kind of boom or bust for their defense. They can force a couple of turnovers, but they're also going to give up those 80 to 85-yard drives on six or seven plays. That's just the way the defense rolls. But for Kansas, if you do want it to be like that TCU game, if you want it to end up a one-score game in the final minutes, here are some things you're going to need to do. From the get-go, you are going to have to establish the run. Bad weather, rain, wind, 30 degrees, 40 degrees. If you can go out there and establish the run with three guys, and Jason Bean, Devin Neal, and Daniel Hyshaw, that is going to allow you to control possession and keep the ball away from Dillon Gabriel, because it's a high-flying offense with Oklahoma, and when they're dealing with the wind, they're dealing with the rain, they're probably still going to try to throw the football. But if you can control the time of possession, I know it doesn't matter that much in the NFL. In college, I really feel like it does, especially now with the running clock not stopping after every single first down. This is maybe the most important factor of the game. If KU can't run the football, they're not going to be within two scores. If Oklahoma stonewalls them in that aspect of their attack, I don't know if you can trust Jason Bean to go for 400, 430 again, because he would need to if there's no running game. And you're not going to have the openings in the secondary like you did against Oklahoma State. But at home this year, we have seen Kansas run the ball very effectively. We have seen this defense play really well in front of the home crowd. Now, number two for me, you're going to have to turn the ball over. I mean, you know Oklahoma's going to get points. You're not going to hold Oklahoma under 30. Oklahoma is going to get five touchdowns probably, but you are going to hope that in those big momentum-changing moments, you can force a turnover. Give your offense a short field and go punch it in the end zone. KU is going to have to play perfect. They are going to have to play as perfect as you possibly can. The one contrary, I'll say, to the TCU game last year, Kansas can't be shut out in the first half. They can't have 3 points in the first half and expect to be competing. You got to get in the 20 range. if you want to compete with Oklahoma. But I still think it's possible. Full bye week, you rested up, and an Oklahoma team that I think showed some vulnerability against UCF. You may not get the same version of Oklahoma, but Oklahoma, with the exception of Texas, hasn't really played anybody. Their only true road game this year was Cincinnati. And they scored 20 points. They won 20-6, and Cincinnati's the worst team in the Big 12 right now. That's their only true road game. They also played Tulsa on the road. So not really tested when they're in a true road environment. They're going to have that in Lawrence, Kansas on Saturday, kickoff at 11 a.m. There's something about it. I could be completely wrong. I've been wrong before, and I'll admit when I'm wrong if this prediction isn't true. But I think it's going to be very close. I think that this is one of those matchups that, no, on paper doesn't favor Kansas, but you kind of throw it all out the window when the teams actually get on the field. I don't think KU's defense is going to have a field day, but I imagine Jason Bean and the offense can move the ball just fine. And Jason Bean has played Oklahoma in the last 2 years. You know, he's played an undefeated Oklahoma team before when KU nearly knocked him off in 2021. Lost by 12 points and lost to Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley. You know, really, last year, it wasn't the closest of games, but I would say that it is a pretty good sign that on the road in Norman, no, we're not a great Oklahoma team or a good defense, but they hung 40-plus. I think Jason Bean can move the ball against this defense. I do believe Oklahoma's due for a big-time slip-up because Oklahoma usually has this happen. Right, when you look at some past years, even if they start undefeated, there's always that one game that pops up on the schedule that gets them. And I think some Oklahoma fans would tell you that for the remaining parts of their schedule, which also goes to show you it's a big-time game for them, and kind of feels weird to say that with it being Kansas football, Kansas may be their toughest game remaining. You could also say the Oklahoma State game in Stillwater, the Bedlam series. I would not really fight you on it. But KU and Oklahoma State are 5-2, kind of a toss-up. The toughest remaining game on schedule, but since it's big noon kickoff, more at stake, I would probably lean a little bit more towards Kansas. And when you have that much pressure on you, it feels like you could be due for a little bit of a slip-up. You know, they just haven't had the toughest of schedules. You know, earlier this year, you took on Tulsa, Cincinnati, Iowa State, UCF. They've played some bottom feeders in the Big 12. Now, Iowa State, standings-wise, is up there in the conference, but overall, they're still 4-3. They're a game behind Kansas, but they are 3-1 in conference play. However, you do look at Iowa State's last couple games. They did beat Oklahoma State at home. They got TCU at home, and they beat Cincinnati on the road. I would say a little bit worse than Kansas, but again, this Oklahoma team is going to be ready to go, but I think Kansas is going to be ready to go. I'd imagine it's in the realm of 45-40 in Oklahoma's favor. I think that's going to be my final prediction on it. Marco, do you have a score prediction for this game or any takeaways before we jump over to Kansas State real quickly?
Yeah, like I said, a 10-point spread seems fairly reasonable for these two teams. I'm going to go with a KU win. Let's say...
Wow.
Yeah. I'll go with Kansas winning. I just think that there's things that are swaying in their direction with the game on Saturday that could 11 a.m. start, homecoming game, Oklahoma, although Norman's not for as far as some of the other Big 12 schools. It's still the travel that you got to get up there. I don't know. I don't know if, off the top of your head, random thought question. If you're that kind of close to your opponent for an 11 a.m. kick, are you staying up there Friday night or are you driving up there?
I'd imagine they're going to go up Friday night because they're going to have to get to the stadium by give or take 8 a.m.
They're going to be. It's going to be a crazy 24 hours for Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I feel like I think that's going to be a factor, and then KU's run game too. So yeah, I'll take Kansas. Let's say they win 35-31.
Wow. I mean, you're talking about a scene in Lawrence if they find a way to pull it off against Oklahoma. But it's felt like a long time since Kansas has played a football game. Coming off that bye week, they lost to Oklahoma State last time out. Still one game away from bowl eligibility. Now for Kansas State, you know, this a much different circumstance here. You're playing a Houston team. You are playing a starting quarterback, which Kansas State has fortunately been able to avoid over the last couple weeks or so. Donovan Smith has been better than expected. I think better than advertised for the Houston Cougars. This year, Donovan Smith has 16 touchdowns and four picks, a 66.7 completion percentage, and averaging north of 280 yards through the air. I would say if this game was in Houston, kind of what we saw last week against Texas, an upset could be brewing. But I don't know how you beat Kansas State at home, and not with the dual quarterback system and the way it's working right now, and the way the K-State defense has looked since faltering in Stillwater to Oklahoma State. They're giving up only 12 points per game over their last two. The only hope, if you're a Houston fan, is if Kansas State is looking ahead to Texas the following weekend in Austin. That is the only way I think you get this done. But I just don't have any reason to doubt them. I mean, K-State is running the ball with effectiveness. I don't think Avery Johnson is a bad thrower or immature thrower. We've seen some fantastic throws, and now Will Howard has a spark lit underneath him. They're going to be rolling here. And you talk about beating Houston, and then if they beat Texas, the only thing standing in the way of another Big 12 title would be Kansas. Last game on the road in Lawrence. They have three home games against lesser opponents to close out their year, and their two road games are going to be tough. But one of them, they have a super long winning streak that dates back to 2009 against their rival in the Kansas Jayhawks. So it's not, I mean, you could say it's a trap game, but they're at home. And K-State has been really damn good at home this year. On the road, not the best. 1-2 this year, but you don't need to worry about that until next week. And you're going to get a backup quarterback again against the Texas Longhorns. That's pretty crazy to think about it. This year, I believe, going back to the Missouri game, they faced Brady Cook, so they faced a starter. UCF, they had Timmy McClain, so backup quarterback. Alan Bowman was, I think, technically the backup quarterback to begin the year, but I'm going to say he's a starter because he's been starting the last couple weeks. And you had Baron Morton against Texas Tech, backup quarterback. And then you had, who was the kid from TCU? Hoover, that's right, the true freshman Hoover. So a couple of backup quarterbacks, but that happens in college sports. I'm not really trying to poke fun at Kansas State. But they do get a starting quarterback this week in Donovan Smith. I just think K-State's going to run away with this one. There's a reason Vegas has this as a three-score game. It's not going to be that close. I don't know how Houston hangs around. Their defense is not very good. Do like Donovan Smith, but when you talk about holding teams in the red zone, keeping them out of the red zone, I mean, Houston is 226th in the nation in scoring defense. I don't really have much more than that. K-State's going to be just fine. I think the dual quarterback system will work just well. My score prediction for this game, I will go K-State 38, Houston 14. What say you, Marco?
I like that one. A double-digit win by the Cats is how I see it as well. Really looking forward to watching this one with this one and how they use the dual quarterback system. Can't say I've watched much of Houston this year, but looking at how they fare against the top half of the conference versus the bottom half. Obviously, I've been playing opponents a lot tougher in the month of October so far. So for me, I just think Kansas State at home is a very dangerous team. So I was, before you had said yours, I was thinking maybe does Houston even get to the 20s. So I'll meet halfway and I'll do Kansas State. Let's take them at. I'll do them 42-17 in this one.
Okay, I like it.
High offensive game from them.
Blowout win for the Cats. Marco's got KU upsetting Oklahoma on Saturday. I got Oklahoma narrowing or take a narrow way out in a close victory, 45-40 over Kansas. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will run the spread and pick every game on the NFL slate. That's next on ESPN Kansas City. We are back here on The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. All right, we got about 20 minutes, so it's time to run the spread. We are going to pick every game on the NFL slate, starting with the Thursday night matchup tonight. And you know what? I would say a pretty damn big one for the Buffalo Bills. So, Marco, if you've got the music, Let's kick things off with Running the Spread tonight on Amazon Prime. 7:15 kickoff. The Buffalo Bills at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bills 4-3, Bucks 3-3, and Buffalo a 9.5-point favorite. The total at 43.5. This has to be the get-right game for the Buffalo Bills, and here's why. Here's who they've got remaining on their schedule. The Bengals on the road, Philly on the road, Kansas City on the road, Chargers on the road, Miami on the road. They lose this game, I think their chances of getting into the postseason dip below 45%. I think it goes down that low just because of who's remaining on their schedule, their division, and how the AFC really stacks up. I guess they could get in as a wild card team at 9-8 or something like that, but they can't afford to lose to Tampa Bay tonight. The issue I have is Buffalo can't score right now. I don't know what happened to that team we saw in the three-week stretch, beating everybody by 24 and 30 and dominating the top team in their division, the Dolphins, at home. I don't know where that team went, but right now they can't score. That spread seems too high for me. I will go Tampa plus 9.5, low-scoring game. Think the Bills win, but I think the Bucs can keep it close for quite a while.
A lot of injuries on the defensive side for Buffalo. Yeah, I just, to me, I'm going to take the Bills to cover this one. I just don't see what Tampa Bay could do if Buffalo does play at their best, though, in this game. And although there are those injuries on the Bills' side defensively, I just think that there's still going to be enough to take care of Baker Mayfield tonight. Although he is 1-0 against Buffalo in his career, I just think that short week, primetime in New York, you're going to be at Orchard Park. Mm-hmm. I think the Bills' defense wakes up a little bit more and shows out and takes care of the Bucs to hold them back a little bit to keep that 9.5-point lead for the Bills.
Boy, do they need to. Mm-hmm. They really, really need to win this game and win it, I think, emphatically to get some respect back from the AFC. The first kickoff on Sunday, the Rams will be in Dallas against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 6.5-point favorite, total at 45.5. Man, I was really high on Dallas to begin the year. Then they stumbled against Arizona. They got smoked by San Francisco, but bounced back, I thought, really nice last week against the Chargers. 20-17 win. I know the Chargers charger a lot, but that really felt like a really great defensive scheme from Dan Quinn in that game to get Dallas their fourth win in just six tries this year. The Rams, I think they're cooked. I am no longer on the Sean McVay train. It's a team that did sell their soul for a Super Bowl ring, but they got the ring and flags fly forever. But for the future, I don't know if the Rams are going to be that good. They have an elite receiving core with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Not much else, though. Defensive side, Aaron Donald, and that's about it. I think the Cowboys should be able to get it done at home. Pretty big spread here, but I will take Dallas minus 6.5. Marco, what say you?
Yeah, Dallas minus 6 is where I'm going to go with it as well, and I think it's just going to be a very long day for the Rams offense. They're going to have to protect Matthew Stafford as much as possible against that Cowboys front seven. Cowboys coming off the bye week, 2 at home. They'll be able to handle that 6-point spread there, I think, against the Rams. Let's just see how. I'm really curious to see. It's going to be a case study to watch these Cowboys in the second half of the season as they will be either be in the playoffs or not. But, yeah, give me the Cowboys minus that 6. Long day for the Rams offense.
NFC North matchup at Lambeau Field. The Vikings and the Packers. Kickoff will be at noon on Fox. The total 41.5. Somehow, someway, the Packers are favored in this game. I don't know if the Packers have inside info from Vegas. I really don't know. They've been favored, it feels like, by 1 point in 3 games this year. This one, I remember they were favored by 1 against Denver, and I believe by 1 against the Raiders. Not sure what Vegas is seeing. This is a very easy pick for me. The Packers are really bad. I don't care if this game's in Minnesota, Lambeau, or on the moon. They're not winning this game. I'm going to go with Minnesota here. They look great against San Francisco. Now, a Niners team that's slumping a little bit. Last 2 weeks, though, like the way the Vikings defense has played, they should have no problem slowing down Jordan Love in this game in Wisconsin. So I'll go with the Vikes easily winning this game by maybe 10 points or so.
Haven't seen the Packers do anything special since that win against the Saints where they had to come back. I'm taking the Vikings too, man. This is a team that is playing really well right now, coming off that big win against San Francisco. They need to get these type of wins if they want to make the playoffs. So, Vikings in Lambeau. I'll take them. They're the underdogs, you said?
They are an underdog
somehow.
Just had
to double check with you on that one,
man. I don't
know
how. The Packers have been favored in a handful of games this year. And going back to their matchup against Chicago, mm-hmm. believe they were favored then
they were favored then. Only 1-point underdogs against the Lions that Thursday night game. Yeah. They end up getting blown out.
I don't get it. I really don't get what there's. I said this either last week or earlier in the week. If it wasn't for Derek Carr getting hurt in that game against the Packers, when Jameis Winston had to come in and then the Packers had, I think, 18 points in the fourth quarter, Packers would probably be the worst team in football. They'd have one win, and that one win would be against Chicago, who's now better than them. So I think the Packers are heading in the wrong direction. Bears are trending upward. Maybe it comes down to Carolina, Arizona, and Green Bay, but I can't get on anything Green Bay's doing. They're just not a good football team. Mm-hmm. Easy pick for me with the Vikings. Okay, Falcons and Titans in Tennessee. The Falcons on the road, a 3-point favorite. Don't think Ryan Tannehill's going to be out there, so should be Will Levis or Malik Willis, I believe it should be, at quarterback. Might be a dual quarterback system. Total at 35.5, so a low-scoring game they're expecting between these two. Big game for Atlanta. You win this game, you're probably in the driver's seat of the NFC South, which didn't really feel possible when you're trotting out Desmond Ridder at quarterback. Very weird game last week for Atlanta. You beat Tampa 16-13, but Bijan was nowhere to be found. Arthur Smith, I think, has done a pretty good job, but I would say this Falcons team is so up and down and usually isn't favored on the road like this. And I know it's mainly because Tennessee's not good and they have a backup quarterback now, but, man, I probably should lean with Vegas here. I don't feel confident with it, a Falcons team on the road, but they did get it done against Tampa Bay. Ugh. Run the football, don't turn it over. I think the Falcons can cover that spread and move to 5-3 on the year. A pleasant surprise coming out of the NFC South. So I'll roll with Atlanta, -3. Not sure Tennessee's going to be able to score that much.
Yeah, a real opportunity to continue to drop some dirt on the Titans' grave for this season. I'm with you. If I could elect to push this one, I would. But I'll go ahead and take the Titans with that mindset that there is going to be a push in this game. I do like Atlanta to win it, but Tennessee off the bye, they're going to be at home. Again, Atlanta up and down with me. What type of offense are we going to be seeing out of them? Who's going to be out there playing for them? I'll take the Titans with the lean towards the I'm leaning towards the coaching here with Vrabel.
Saints and Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Kickoff at noon on Fox. Total 43.5. The Saints as a road favorite, -1. A lot of pick'em games this coming weekend. Indianapolis put up a lot of points. And I mean a lot of points on a damn good Cleveland defense. Problem is, P.J. Walker put up a lot of points against them. Now, it was a controversial ending. I'm not sure that the Browns really deserved to win that game. Couple of ticky-tack calls from the officials. So it goes to show you in the NFL, hey, it's not always the Chiefs that are benefiting from some bad calls. The Browns did last week. I kind of like the Gardner Minshew train here, and I think that New Orleans is still at heart a good football team. I made the hot take that they could win, 12-13 games on their schedule because of how easy it was. But they just really do not score that much, and really not on the road. Last three road games, they did have the 34-0 shutout against New England, but those other two against Green Bay, 17, and then against Houston, 13. I think Indianapolis probably pulls this out. They can score just a little bit more than Derek Carr and the Saints can right now, so I'll go with the home dog here in Indianapolis. What say you, Marco?
Yeah, surprisingly, I'm very surprised that the Colts are the home underdog in this game. Saints, to me, I just feel like they're just a downward trend right now. Derek Carr, I mean, we're just starting to see who he really is at this age in his career. So, yeah, I'll take the Colts, who have been a very surprisingly decent team so far this season.
Patriots and Dolphins, an AFC East clash happening in South Beach. Kickoff noon on CBS, total 46. The Fins, a 9.5-point favorite. Another 9.5-point spread we got coming out of the AFC East. Hey, New England, tip my cap. They beat Buffalo last week. Mac Jones had a game-winning drive. I'm still not a Mac Jones supporter, but he helped the Chiefs in a big-time way in giving Buffalo its third loss. Issue is, though, you know, Miami's coming off their loss to Philadelphia, and the Dolphins just beat up on bad teams. It's really their identity. They don't beat good teams. They just smoke bad ones. Like Miami, they beat the Chargers on the road to open up the year. They really haven't played a good team at home since. They got Denver at home, they got the Giants at home, and then Carolina at home, and now New England. And in those games, they won by 21, 15, and 50. They just beat up on bad teams, and New England still is not a good football team. Might be a trap game. They got the Chiefs in Germany next weekend, but I do think Miami can handle Mac Jones and the Patriots at home, so I will take the Fins minus 9.5.
Call me crazy, but I'm going to ride this New England this New England bandwagon-ish. I don't even know if you can call it that, but I'm gonna ride with Bill Belichick here for one game and take the Patriots to cover. I want to say last week's loss against the Eagles may have shown some things on tape on how to limit this Miami offense. Tyreek Hill, hip injury right now. Their defense really looks good on paper, but when you watch them, man, it's just, to me, I've been as impressed with them as maybe as what the expectations were going into the season. So I'll take New England and lean with the Belichick here to cover that 9.
Yeah, bad defense in Miami. I mean, you can be scared of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Tua, but when the Chiefs play him next weekend, that might be one of the worst defenses they've faced all season long. And that's saying something after facing Denver twice before that game. Battle for New York, the Jets and the Giants will play at MetLife. The Jets are a 3-point favorite, total at 36.5. Kickoff at noon on CBS. I like the Jets and the way they're playing. Something happened to Zach Wilson. They're not putting him in situations to fail. They're putting him in far more situations to succeed. Run the football, pound the rock with Breece Hall. He's on my fantasy team. I would love that. Zach Wilson, don't turn it over. You should be just fine. There's no home field advantage here. Both teams play in the same venue. So I like the Jets minus 3 here. Just no quarterback, you know, success here. Tyrod Taylor, hey, he's still playing. He won them a game. He's got as many wins as Daniel Jones this year. But still, neither of those guys can do enough, I think, against this Jets defense. So I'll take the New York Jets minus 3. What say you, Marco?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets here as well, because defense is going to matter in this one a lot with quarterbacks that you're going up against. Also, Robert Saleh making the best of having Zach Wilson as a quarterback, mm-hmm. whereas Brian Daboll, not so much with Daniel Jones. Yeah. So give me the Jets to cover that 3 against the G-men.
Big time matchup in Pittsburgh. The Jags at 5-2 on the road against the Steelers at 4-2. Both playoff teams right now, but the Jags a 3-point favorite. The total at 41. Another kickoff at noon on CBS. This is huge for Jacksonville. If Jacksonville wins and is 6-2, I mean, right now they're kind of my front runner to get the 2 seed in the AFC. Their schedule is a little bit more favorable. It's always tough to go and win in Pittsburgh. But I think right now that defense is playing at such a high level, and they're only dealing with, you know, Kenny Pickett. Now, Kenny Pickett, I think this year is, how do I put this? Average at best. I mean, that's not even the best word to describe him as. I mean, I just don't think he does anything that jumps out on the screen. The only elite player they have on the offensive side of the ball is probably George Pickens. And George Pickens is still a second-year guy. Defensively, Pittsburgh can overwhelm you. They can dominate you. And for that reason, it makes me nervous that Jacksonville can't get this done. But Vegas likes him by 3, so I'll like him by 3. I like the Jags to win and cover at Heinz Field.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Steelers all week until today, because Jaguars, something's new down there with the offense. Another year in the system. So, yeah, I'll take the Jags as well, because I think they're going to win this game. See it more than 2 and 3, excuse me.
NFC East matchup. The Philadelphia Eagles at 6-1 go to D.C. to take on the Commanders, who are 3-4. The Eagles, a near-touchdown favorite at 6.5, total at 43.5. Philly's rolling right now, and they already had a close game this year with Washington at home. I don't think you get two close games with Philly. The way you choked away that game, and yes, I'm going to say choked away for Washington, because they didn't go for two to try and win that game. They tried to win it in overtime, which was stupid on Ron Rivera's part. I think he gets fired midseason, and Eric Bieniemy will be the step-in, the fill-in coach. Of course, because he's an assistant head coach right now. for the remainder of the season. Not sure it happens after a loss to Philadelphia, but at some point it will. For now, I'll just take the Eagles winning and covering in D.C. against the Commanders.
Yeah, rolling with the Fly Eagle Flies here. Winners of four of their last five. Commanders, losers of four of their last five. I'll take the Eagles in a blowout win. Like you said, Commanders had a chance to get one from their divisional foes, but couldn't.
The only winless team in the NFL, the Carolina Panthers, will be at home against the Texans, who are 500. Texans a three-point favorite, total of 43.5. Carolina is kind of going under the radar how bad they are. Might have messed up in taking Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I think we're going to see that on Sunday. I'll take Stroud and the Texans to win and cover and push the Panthers to 0-7.
Yeah, surprised by the spread here. I'll take the Texans as well. Love me some C.J. Stroud.
The Cleveland Browns against the Seattle Seahawks at Lumen Field. The Seahawks, a 3.5-point favorite, the total at 38. I don't think P.J. Walker is going to pull it off back-to-back weeks. I love P.J. Walker. He's beaten Tom Brady before. He beat the Niners, beat that Niners defense, and beat the Colts in a shootout last week. But the Seahawks are due for a big one. I like them at home. I like Geno at home. Kenneth Walker, D.K. Metcalf practiced in full this week. So Seahawks, yeah, spread seemed a little bit small to me. I'll take that -3.5.
I'm going to take the Browns. Seahawks money line, though. Mm. I just think it's going to be a very bad game for both teams when it comes to quarterback play. A lot of running the ball for each side. I just think Cleveland will keep it close, but Seattle will win, but not cover.
Yeah, that total is really low. Chiefs-Broncos at Mile High. Chiefs a touchdown favorite. Don't need to dive into this one too much. I think the Chiefs can win this game by more than a touchdown, probably by double digits. Don't see it be a repeat of last year. You jump out big, game gets close. They should be just fine against Russell Wilson again here. So I'll take Kansas City to extend that winning streak and move the 2-0 against Denver for yet another season.
Right you are. I'm going to take them as well.
Ravens and Cardinals in Glendale. The Cardinals at 1-6. Ravens look like a dark horse to win the Super Bowl, and they are a 9.5-point favorite, total at 44.5. Ravens got a roll in this one. I mean, they could always overlook Arizona, but Arizona can't score anything right now. Josh Dobbs, the shine has worn off a little bit. Kyler Murray, don't know when he's exactly going to be back. Maybe it's this week. I haven't really kept up to date on that. But if it's Dobbs again, yeah, Ravens should roll in this one. I'll take them to win and cover in the desert.
Full participant at practice this week for Murray, but that's not going to matter because Baltimore is one of the hotter teams in football right now. Give me the Ravens.
Bengals and Niners in the Bay Area. Niners only a 3.5-point favorite. They're 5-2, might be without Brock Purdy, so they could turn to Sam Darnold. I still like the Niners here, though. Don't think it should be a three-game losing streak. It's all about the system here. Don't worry about the quarterback situation. Purdy hasn't looked great. If it's Darnold, he'll just be Brock Purdy 2.0. So I'll take the Niners to win and cover.
Give Burrow hell this weekend. Give me San Francisco.
The Sunday night matchup, for whatever reason, is the Bears and the Chargers in L.A. The Chargers an 8.5-point favorite, the total 46.5. Hey, Chicago has been playing better. I think it's going to be Tyler Badgett again. The Chargers feel like they're just going to charge her in this one, and that spread feels really high for a team that can never close games. Give me the Bears plus 8.5. I think the Chargers win, but the Bears can keep it close.
I'm right there with you. Chargers win, but Bears cover that 8.5.
And lastly, Monday Night Football, Detroit at Ford Field against the Raiders. They're an 8.5-point favorite. Hammer the Lions' money line and them to cover. I think they can blow out Vegas.
I'm right there with you. Get ready for another Lions offensive showcase.
Well, that was our Running the Spread segment that we do every single Thursday. And there is Ray Charles, so it's time to go. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We will wrap up the week tomorrow at 10 AM. Until then, you take it easy, Kansas City.